we have lay people who give the devotional. Tonight, Chris Morrison will be the speaker.
All right. This idea came from J. Vernon McGee. I was listening to one of his sermons on the radio, and he brought up a point that, and of course, it's around 4th of July, and we're celebrating our independence from King of England, but he brought up a point that we do not need a declaration of independence today, that we need a declaration of dependence. And so that's what we're going to focus on this lesson. Is on July 4th, 1776, a group of Americans issued a declaration of independence from the King of England, but today Americans need a declaration of dependence to the King of Kings. And so we're going to read through the Declaration of Independence, and we're going to stop and break down different paragraphs of it, and then talk about what claims that they made to their king, and what claims that, or other things we should be asserting to our king. And so it reads, the unanimous decision, or the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And so those Americans concluded the necessity to dissolve their political bands to the King of England. But today, we as a country need to realize the necessity to solidify our spiritual bond to the King of Kings. And if you want to turn there, you might not be able to turn as fast as I'm reading because I got my quotes directly in my outline here. I'm going to have to go fairly quickly to get through this. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people... And of course, this the context is to Israel, but here we're applying it in the more general sense to God's people, those that serve him. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so we as a country need to, again, solidify our spiritual bond and not dissolve the political bands as the others did 240-some years ago. But we as individuals need to do the same. And so if you turn to Psalm 25:10, it says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And so that's what we need to do, is we need to look to God, to his covenants, to his testimony, and to keep those. And Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So we need to realize that our anything that we accomplish in eternity and any spiritual good needs to be accomplished through the power of the Lord, for without him we can do nothing. And another claim that those Americans had 200 some years ago, they claimed a separate and equal station in their break from their king. But we as a country today need to recognize our bond of subservience to the sovereign king. And God is sovereign over all creation. And Nebuchadnezzar realized this after he humbled himself when God took away his right mind. And in Daniel 4:37, Nebuchadnezzar said, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And so because of pride, Nebuchadnezzar lifted himself up, but God tore him down. And when he came and humbled himself, God restored him. And Daniel 4:35, just before that verse, a couple verses before that, and it says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" So again, emphasizing God's sovereignty over all creation. That includes sovereignty over these nations and these kings that some get so full of themselves that God sometimes needs to bring them down a few notches. But so we, again, as a country, need to recognize our bond of subservience to the sovereign king. But instead, what do we see? We see that our nation distorts the concept of the separation of church and state. You know, our founders did not want a national church with bad doctrine. They saw what had happened when the king established the Church of England as the national religion. They didn't want that. They came for freedom of religion. But what, again, they didn't want the pendulum swinging too far in the other direction either, and our current concept of the separation of church and state. They didn't want the government to restrict religion either. And so one of our founding fathers, John Quincy Adams, he said the Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. And there are many other quotes. The preacher's been preaching quite a bit about our founding fathers and what they felt about Christianity and the Bible and things like that. So I'm not going to belabor that point. But then we as individuals need to recognize our utter dependence upon the transcendent King of Kings. And so those others, 240-some years ago, they wanted to break from their king, but we need to recognize our utter dependence upon the transcendent King of Kings. And we shouldn't forget our station. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we, at least me, I don't know about you guys, but we slog through the daily grind. We neglect our duty and our stewardship over the blessings and things that God has given us. And Hosea chapter 14, verse 9, and that's what the last verse we read. "Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." So we need to apply that wisdom and that prudence and follow the ways of the Lord because they're right. So those Americans, again, we quoted a passage out of the Declaration of Independence, and we'll continue quoting other sections, but another point out of the section we've already read was those Americans cited the Creator that entitled them to their claims. Now, we as a country today, we again need to recognize the Creator's role in our stature or our position. The first part of verse 15 of Isaiah 40 says, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance." You know, God establishes kings and nations, and he tears them down at his will. Jeremiah 10:10 says, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting king. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." So just like dust that was on a balance, you just a little puff of air and it's gone. And that's what God can do to these kings or these nations. We need to remind ourselves when we get so upset at happenings in the world that we need to realize that God's still sovereign. He's still the King of Kings, and he's still on the throne, and he's in control. But we as individuals need to recognize the Creator's role in our lives, in our dreams. And Philippians 4:19, a very common verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So let's quote the next passage out of the Declaration of Independence. They go on to say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So those Americans, they asserted that their rights came from God, not the King of England. And we as a country, a lot of us at least, have forgotten God, and many think that our rights come from the government. We think that our rights come from the Constitution, but they don't. And we'll talk about that in just a second. So what is an inalienable right? If you look it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says it's incapable of being alienated, surrendered, or transferred. So they don't come from man. They don't come from government. So man and government can't take them away. They are inalienable rights. And so these rights are affirmed by the Constitution. They're not granted by the Constitution. And the Bill of Rights, 2 years after the Constitution was signed, they do the same thing. They are simply a guarantee that government will not infringe upon those rights. It is assumed that those rights pre-exist. So those rights come from God. They don't come from government. They don't come from man. And it isn't their position to take them away. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 40 through 47 say, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. Thou hast made us the off-scouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. So their sad state was a result of them rejecting God as a punishment. So today, we as individuals need to thank God for our rights and the fact that many of us were born in this great nation. Proverbs 12:31 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And so this nation has a lot of great weapons, but the safety is not in our horses and our chariots or our tanks or our aircraft or our nuclear weapons. The safety is in the Lord. And so he can remember the nations are but dust, and America is but dust to God too. And so if he decides to tear us down tomorrow, it doesn't matter how much power and weapons and things that we have, he's still in sovereign control. So the Declaration of Independence goes on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So those Americans asserted that God himself instituted government with the consent of the people, and that these people can revoke this consent when government becomes corrupt. That's not 100% biblical, because at some point, God put the Jews under Babylonian captivity as a punishment. And he said, if these nations, including the Jews, tried to go against what God had planned, that they would suffer the consequences for it. And so You may not be happy with your government. You know, the Jews weren't very happy to be in the situation they were in and the government they were under, but it was instituted by God for them to be there. So it isn't true universally. Titus chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So we as a country need to honor God ordained institutions, and those being the government, the family, and the church. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 17 says, Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So this is some of the purposes that God has for government. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Yet we see government tearing down and undermining these God-ordained institutions. We have adoption into same-sex couples. We have, it's so easy to divorce someone, you just at the drop of a hat. We're likely going to see lawsuits against churches or pastors for hate speech in the future just for preaching the word of God. And so we're undermining God's institutions and his will. And we as individuals need to honor these God-ordained institutions through church attendance, tithing, through voting, through our patriotism, through our prayer for our leaders. And that's one of the things that we're going to do here tonight. Somebody's going to get the list to pray for our leaders. Through church attendance and tithing, I think I mentioned those, displaying true love for our family members and spending time with them. So we need to be honoring all of these God-ordained institutions. And Romans 13, 5 through 7 says, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Excuse me for a second here. And so, let's continue with the last section that we're going to read from the Declaration of Independence. It goes on to say, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former system of government. The history of the present King of Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And so those Americans, they recognize government as an instrument of God's blessing, but it may be transformed or renewed when it ceases to function as God intended. In Romans 13, 1 through 4 says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are to be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. that they resist, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon all them that do evil. So we as a country need to thank God for our status and pray for our leaders. You know, Proverbs 24:21 says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change." And we as individuals need to recognize the source of our blessing, and it's not a government handout, it's not a government program. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "Honor the king with thy, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Let's go ahead and dismiss this part in a prayer, and then I'll turn it back over to Brother Bill. Lord, I thank you for your chance to be here tonight, Lord. I just pray that we would, as a group of Americans, Lord, remember our dependence upon you, and as individuals, Lord, the duties of our stewardship that we have unto you, and ask us all in Jesus' name. Amen.